The program is Lawrence and Taylor. My name is Jeremy Lawrence. His name is Roger Taylor. And over there is Michael.
The Wonder Producer. It's an even day.
Yep.
We split up the duties here. We really do.
So. I had to look at the calendar down in the corner of the screen.
Wait a minute. What day is it?
It's the 4th.
So, yeah, you know, we've gotten past yesterday, Monday, you know, which everybody usually goes,
especially after the Super Bowl. Everyone has that Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah, particularly certain unnamed Denver fans. Not that I would mention anyone in present company.
Have you given up on the Denver? Stand up. I want to see your shirt. Okay, you're back to Michigan.
Back to U of M.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So, they have a game tonight, or you're wearing it because you like them?
Just wearing it because I like them.
All right.
So you've moved on from this year's disappointment, shall we say.
Yes.
Are you looking forward to the draft, or are you all done with Denver now?
No. I'm staying with my team. I'm not a bandwagon fan where I'll hop off and go to another team. I'm not like that.
Okay. So you'll be watching the draft?
I'm not, you know, too interested in the draft. I kind of find that dull at points. But I will pay, you know, I'll read in the paper or online, you know, what players that they drafted.
Yeah, it's the only time at all that anybody listens to Mel Kiper with any sort of attention at all, other than, you know, if you happen to be his hairdresser.
Yes.
You know. But, yeah, so and there's not much going on in the NFL these days, anyway. I mean, you get past the Super Bowl. It used to be they had the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl, so there was still a little something. But now they apparently played one.
Yeah, they played it the week before the Super Bowl.
And it wasn't even NFC and AFC. It was just, okay, we'll get these two guys to pick teams.
Yep.
Sort of a scrimmage thing.
You know?
Yeah.
And I didn't watch it, so I don't have any clue if any of these guys actually put forth legitimate effort. But in years past on the Pro Bowl, it's just been, you watch the play starts, the linemen just stand up next to each other. Start having a chat, you know, okay, where are we going after this? You know?
And check out those girls in the stands.
Nobody wants to get an injury.
Certainly not.
No.
Playing an all-star game type of situation. But
yeah, I'm going to lose all next year because I put my heart and soul into the Pro Bowl.
Now, the one thing about the draft I will watch is actually the new movie coming out soon that has Kevin Costner, Jennifer Garner, Dennis Leary in it called Draft Day, and that deals with the Cleveland Browns.
Uh-huh.
And saw previews of that this weekend.
Yes.
Boy, is it showing that they're actually doing something good? Because that would be a real fantasy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe they should take Kevin Costner and make him the GM of the Browns.
Couldn't do any worse.
Speaking of Kevin Costner, he is in every movie that's made for this
year. I know.
It's amazing how busy that old guy is.
Yes. It's like The Rock from like a couple of years ago. He was in every movie.
Yeah.
Except Kevin Costner is a good bit older.
Yes.
Nice to see him coming back, though. So, well, you know what? We've got, speaking of movies, because we like to segue from topic to topic here with some connection. Here a little bit later in the program, I've got tickets, four of them, to see an upcoming movie.
What movie?
Which is opening up this weekend. The movie is called Vampire Academy.
Oh.
So apparently it's based on a series of books that are out there. Not books I've read at this point. I'm just not a vampire person, really.
Yeah, I don't.
But
I'm not fascinated by vampires.
Yeah, either am I.
Either.
You know, there are people that are.
I know.
And there probably are people that are listening right now that are.
And they'd like to go to a movie for free, I'll bet.
There you go, yeah. Mm-hmm. And to go to one of the best theaters in the area, you know, I mean, you don't get much better than Celebration Cinema. So
I had an adult beverage this time.
There you go.
I felt so urban.
Did you feel wild?
Yeah. I mean, whoa, it's like being in the big city.
Mm-hmm.
Park my plow out in the parking lot.
In the big city of Portage, of course, yes. But we're going to be giving these tickets away a little bit later when Michael comes up with some dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia that we're going to go through. I'm not sure what it is, but he's come up with something. He claims it's good.
I'll give you a hint. It deals with the Olympics since the Winter Olympics are coming up.
Okay, so Olympics.
Yes.
Now he's being topical, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, that's interesting to see. So
that's why he's the Wonder Producer.
I guess, you know, he
goes
about
that
these
extra
things.
Mile. He that little bit extra he puts in.
No, it's the Olympics, that extra meter.
That extra.
Yes.
You got to do that. You got to come up with a bad pun there.
That tenth of a second I needed to take off to win.
Yes.
So he always shaves off that extra tenth of a second to make his time better. So, mm-hmm. you know, see, there you go. There's your analogy.
Okay.
All right. So that's coming up in the show. Also, we've got our video of the day, which if you have yet to check up on this, you know, we talked about Super Bowl ads yesterday, and there's a lot of good stuff that's happened nationally. But there's also the local ads that you don't find out about until later.
Yeah.
And one has gone viral. And this particular one, it's, I can't tell if I'm watching a preview for an action movie or a personal injury lawyer commercial, which is what it is.
I just like the guy's name. His name is Casino.
Of course.
Would you want to hire an attorney whose name is Casino? Gamble with me.
My name's Casino.
Yes.
Yes. We may win, we may lose.
Right. I collect my fees either way.
Come take your chances with, yeah, anyway. But he does this video. It's 2 minutes long, and you swear it's a movie trailer type thing. That's what he's attempting to do. And I don't know whether to be impressed or really insulted by the whole thing. You just have to watch it to see. It's kind of one of those things where you look at it, and you can look at it from one angle and go, ugh.
Yeah.
It's... And then there's another side of it you can go, man, that's kind of cool.
But, yeah, there is that part that makes you want to take a shower after.
pretty much. But, you know, this is not an attorney that's local by any stretch. This guy's from Savannah, Georgia.
Right.
And you just have to see the video. So head to the website, WKZO.com. Click on the links a little bit just down from the news in the blog section.
Yeah.
You'll be able to catch that. Also, it is posted on our Facebook site as of just a few minutes ago. So you can go there and check that out. And if you've not liked us on Facebook, please do. We got lots planned for you as we move ahead on Facebook. We're going to be sharing and chatting with you a whole lot more. So you can be a part of the cutting edge of what we're doing here.
Ooh, cutting edge. I like that.
Yes.
Makes me all excited.
See, Roger's on the cutting edge with everything except food, from what I've discovered. But
right. I'm a traditionalist.
He just had Chinese a couple of months ago, but he was nervous about it.
Right. So.
And he won't eat fish.
Uh-uh. Nope. Nothing that lives in water. Drinking water is acceptable. But
uh-uh. See, you're missing out on good things like shrimp and things like that.
W.C. Fields was right. And I'm not going to explain that.
He's taking the word of a comedian. Okay.
There you go. A century-old comedian at that.
Well, anyway, there's lots of other things to talk about. Of course, a little bit later, we'll get into another go-round on Obamacare because the numbers have come out from the CBO, so we'll go over those. One thing we wanted to talk about now, Rick Snyder, of course, he announced that he's indeed running for re-election, and he's put out his spot and all of that stuff. And one of the things that he's gotten into, and he was on the station this morning as part of Kalamazoo's Morning News to talk with the crew there, and they'd asked him about road funding and talked about that. One of the interesting things, and you know, I think you see this with this particular governor, is he's not necessarily in lockstep with the legislature. He's not sitting here going, you know what, over the legislature, they got it right, and I'm going exactly with them. He's saying, you know what, no. We need a solution to do something with the roads, and you know we're gonna do what we can right now. But we need to come up with a solution to all of this. And he's not backing down. He's saying, you know what, we need to get things fixed. We need to solve this thing.
Well, he's got some conservative support for that.
Mm-hmm.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce says we have to do something about our roads, that it's beginning to interfere with doing business in the state, mm-hmm. in attracting new business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see him coming along and doing this. Now, obviously, it's an election year, but at the same time, this echoes what he's said before, so he's at least being consistent by saying, you know what, we do need to do something about this. We need to spend some more money. So to see a politician being consistent with their earlier message, that's not a horrible thing. That's actually a surprising thing in an election year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it could be a good thing.
Well, and I think when spring happens, if it happens...
we're all wondering.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Don't worry.
Okay.
The optimist over there. I'm glad we have him today.
When spring happens, according to Michael, the roads are going to turn to pot. They're going to be horrible this year.
Really? Are people going to be smoking them then?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I wondered.
They are going to be terrible because the frost, mm-hmm. especially on plowed pavement, has gone way down because of the real cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already starting to see potholes forming.
Yes.
And wait till we have a big thaw. And I think that's going to underline the governor's position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people who are opposed to the fixing of the roads may change their mind once voters see what the roads are going to be like this spring.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
So I think he's picked a battle wisely here.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can finally get the legislature in line. He's supposed to be the leader of the Republican Party for the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody goes, oh, well, let's see, Governor Snyder thinks this, so do I. You know, that I think the idea of any issue where you duke it out, you're going to have some differences of opinion. I mean, we're seeing that in terms of what Republicans want to do with taxes this year.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I think at the end of it all, you sit down, you come up with a little something that, all right, this is what we can agree on. This is what everybody's happy with. And you sit down not only as a party, but as both parties and say, what are we going to do? Let's get this solved. And, you know, will that happen in an election year? They seem to think so in Lansing. I still have my doubts.
Well,
given that it is an election year and there's going to be the situation where a lot of these people are wanting to run for reelection or election to a different office.
They don't need the Democrats. They've got a Republican governor. Republicans control both the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need a kumbaya moment with Democrats to make progress. They have to agree amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm. But on this kind of an issue, don't you think it makes sense for Democrats to come along and go, you know what, we really do not want to be clubbed over the head with this come election time. Let's figure out what's going on. Try and get on board with something and work out, you know, hammer out something here, because, you know, face it, when election time comes, do they want that held over them that, you know, they stood in the way of progress, they stood in the way of road funding, they stood in the way of this, that, and the other? I mean, whether or not they did, they could conceivably be hit over the head with that.
Conceivably, but both they could be hit over the head with any number of things the mm-hmm. Republicans can do mm-hmm. without bothering to bring any of the Democrats along.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the Republican plan, to say, look how irrelevant Democrats are to running the state.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
mm-hmm.
need them for fixing our roads. We don't need them for adjusting tax rates. We'll see if they try to bring the Democrats in. But so far, they haven't seemed interested in that.
Mm. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think seeing where Governor Snyder stands on certain issues, sometimes he tends to be a bit more moderate, a little more towards the Democratic side than Republican side, because there's certainly people that are very conservative that aren't exactly on board with the guy.
Yeah.
You know, so that'll be interesting to see how it all turns out. But that is one of the things that the governor is talking about, that, you know what, no, I'm not going to back down because we need to do something. And that's certainly part of, you know, not only I think what his campaign is going to be about, but I think just doing the job. Because I think one thing that you've seen from him is that he is trying to do the job as best he can, instead of, you know what, it's an election year, let's all take some time off and go campaign. You know, you're going to have to. But I think he's also focusing on the idea that, you know what, we got a job to do. Let's get it done.
Mm-hmm. He is trying to appear pragmatic more this year than in previous years, but that's positioning for the election as well.
Mm-hmm.
He has, for the most part, gone along with all of the things that Republicans in especially the Senate, have wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
He said that right to work wasn't a big deal, and the legislature dragged him along on it. And so I think he's trying to appear businesslike and not a conservative ideologue this year. I don't know that he's changed, but mm-hmm. it is an election year. And so he's trying not to load the gun that Mark Schauer or some other candidate that comes out might beat him about the head and shoulders with.
Now, you know, I got to looking around, too, because we talked about Governor Snyder and, you know, what this race is going to look like between he and Schauer, and you don't always want to take stock by what fundraising is going to do, because it's going to tell part of the story but not all of the story. And there have been some races in the past, granted few of them, where the one who is funded less ends up winning.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, Governor Snyder, and they talked about this in a Politico story about how his fundraising ends up looking pretty darn good by comparison. Said that he raised in calendar year 2013 $5.08 million, still has $4 million on hand. The other side of it, Schauer, has raised $1.6 million since he decided to be a part of the race. Currently has $1 million on hand. He's also applied for public financing, meaning that you'll likely be limited to spending just under $2 million between now and August, which is when the official primary takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Snyder has, in the past, spent his own money, and apparently he'll be privately funded on this. So it looks like it's going to be pretty lopsided in terms of funding, but is that an indicator of it's going to be pretty lopsided when you go to the ballot box? Is it going to be a close election? Is it going to be something that's, quite frankly, not all that close? You know, that you still try to read the tea leaves. You don't really know, but I think that at least gives you one small indicator of, well, it could be that way.
Well, yeah, money buys things,
mm-hmm.
and it buys votes.
Sure.
And I think that is certainly one of the things you want to look at. I did read, and I'm not finding the article now, that a great deal of the money, here it is from the Free Press. $360,000 of the money used in Snyder's campaign fund came from Dick DeVos.
Hmm.
So he has one sugar daddy, so to speak, in giving him that big financial advantage that he has. But that's what Citizens United, that's what the floodgates that Citizens United opened up. And rich people certainly have a lot of money to put into elections.
We continue the discussion talking about Governor Snyder and the different things that are out there in the news about him today. We'll keep it going. Take your phone calls a little bit later, too, so keep it right here. And we look forward to hearing from Bob Larson coming up in the next 15 or so minutes as he gives us the latest of the late update.
Snow totals for tonight seem to be increasing.
You know, I've heard it go several different ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. You know, we need to get that cleared up. So I think Bob will be able to help
us with that. Better to do it than Bob?
He's the expert on the subject, if you ask us. I don't know. We're getting snow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have any idea.
I want to know if my driveway is going to be covered.
Yeah. Hey, a quick thing before we have to go to news. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that the DeVos family, big supporter of Snyder's campaign. Mm-hmm. The Michigan Labor's Political League and SEIU are the big contributors to Mark Schauer. Mm-hmm. So there's big money behind both.
Oh, behind both
candidates.
Sides.
Yeah.
And you would expect that to a great degree. Well, when we continue ahead, a little bit later in the program, are we still travel safe with the TSA in charge of things? We're going to talk about an article that appeared recently. Some interesting stuff in this article. Make some personal observations and take your phone calls as well. Keep it right here, 590 KZO and Lawrence and Taylor. The program is Lawrence and Taylor. You're in tune with it here on 590 WKZO. And before we continue on with the program, a little bit of breaking news for you, breaking farm news. And, of course, for that, we turn to the man who is a source for news himself.
Our farm services director.
Yes, indeed. Oh, you used his title. Very nice.
Yes. Yeah.
The one, the only Rick Shields.
We have been waiting 3 years for this, and it's finally happened. It's H.R. 2642, better known as the Farm Bill, also known as the American Agriculture Act. And this afternoon, pretty much as expected, it passed handily, 6832 in the U.S. Senate. House signed off on it earlier. Now it's headed to the president for his signature. And there is a full five-year Farm Bill and everything that goes with that.
See, now you confused me when you said we've been waiting 3 years on it, because there's an awful lot of people that have been waiting for Justin Bieber to be deported.
Well,
but,
yes.
You know, not for 3 years, apparently. So,
so there's
they're both worth the wait.
Definitely.
So what the Senate passed needs no reconciliation with the House bill?
It has been reconciled.
Oh,
they've
okay.
gone through all of that. That was what took most of this month. And now the president has already committed, and Jay Carney, the press secretary, has said, too, that it's all set to go. So it just crosses Pennsylvania Avenue.
All right.
He'll sit down, sign it, and...
it's law.
I don't know if it'll be with pomp and circumstance. It probably should be.
You wonder what else can happen. He may pick up a pen that's out of ink. No.
Could order the auto pen. You know what? Bring that thing over here. I don't feel like writer's cramp.
Borrow his daughter's My Little Pony.
There you go. Or
use an etch a sketch.
There you go. Can you sign it with an etch a sketch?
No.
No.
I'm thinking not.
Yeah. You could probably sign it with crayons, but that wouldn't be a good idea either.
Well, you know what it is after 5 years. It's just like Etch-a-Sketch. You shake it up and start all over.
I guess we better start working on the next bill, huh?
Yes, yes.
Well, thanks, Rick.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
That'll keep milk prices steady, at least.
Plan to have a mustache in hours.
White or chocolate mustache?
Yeah, take your pick.
You're being asked white or chocolate.
Or strawberry.
Strawberry. Yeah.
You left out strawberry.
I can't believe I left that out.
Farmers here in West Michigan.
There you go. You know, nobody's ever tried blueberry milk. Is that anything?
I drink blueberry kefir, which is sort of a milk
blueberry
product.
Blueberry juice is certainly very popular, especially in Japan.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying it's, you know, product of the state. Why not?
Absolutely.
It's worth
it's a
shot.
It's a rich source of antioxidants. It belongs in every Michigander's diet.
Absolutely.
And it makes a great barbecue sauce.
Barbecue, okay.
Mm-hmm. To each his own.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd go that way because, you know what, I'm too busy with them in my pancakes. So,
Or muffins.
I could see that on a chicken. I may have to try it. I'll come to you for a recipe, Rick.
He's getting very culinary daring these
days.
Yeah. Jeremy, you're a good influence on him.
Well, you know, we're trying here. So, but
trying
you know,
to broaden my horizons.
You know, when I think of the word daring, though, there is one name that comes to mind. Rick, sorry, it's not yours.
Oh, God, got it.
But I think it's Bob Larson, such a daring guy to, in the midst of all the changing weather, come on and try and make sense of the madness. So, Mr. Bob Larson, are you that daring gentleman?
Daring? I dare say not. But things have gone this winter season, I suppose you could say it is daring just to appear in public and to speak about the weather, because not very popular amongst the general populace these days.
Now, you know, we're not the types that would do that, but had you heard that when things were going on in Atlanta that weather forecasters were actually blamed for the problem there?
I have heard that, and I can't speak for every weather forecast that was written, but most everyone that I've come across predicted 1 to 3 inches of snow and slippery roads, and by golly, they had 2.6 inches of snow and slippery roads. Where did they go wrong?
Yeah, the weathermen just predict the weather. It's not like they create it.
Right.
And you know, even though some of these weather companies that were making predictions are considered in competition with our group, I fully defend them. I don't understand. I don't understand how it's the weather person's fault. What happened was what was predicted. I'm not quite sure how they got thrown under the bus, but they did.
Unless you're that lone voice going, it'll be sunny and 80 degrees.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be different if the forecast was for sunny, high 50, maybe a late day shower. Yeah, maybe that, yeah. That would be a problem. But when 1 to 2 or 1 to 3 inches or so was predicted, along with slippery and icy travel, and then it became slippery and icy and 1 to 3 inches of snow fell, I just don't understand. Was the forecast to include, and don't hit the highways because you won't get home for 36 hours? I'm not sure exactly what was to be in the forecast, but
exactly.
Oh well, I'm a little heated about that.
Yeah,
Bob, you're getting a little passionate about this. That's fine, but I agree with you.
Now, are you going to predict 80s around here?
I will come May.
All right. Well, what are you going to predict for tonight and tomorrow? That's probably the one question
on
all of our
minds. That's a little more relevant, isn't it?
How much snow are we going to
get? We've got snow on the way. It breaks out after 5, 6 p.m., so it's going to be moving in here early this evening. And a winter weather advisory starts at 6 p.m. We're expecting 2 to 4 inches of snow tonight into tomorrow morning before it tapers to flurries by later tomorrow morning. So going back to yesterday's word, a moderate snowfall, certainly not just a few flurries, but certainly not a blizzard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. South of here, are they getting a lot more snow?
They are. You might have to go well south before it gets much heavier. Certainly it might be 4 or 5 inches toward the Indiana line, but I think the so-called meteorological sweet spot with this storm is going to be centered between Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, where they can pick up 6 to 12 inches of snow.
Thank goodness for them.
Right, yeah. And then it extends eastward to between Toledo and Columbus, Ohio, then across northern Pennsylvania. I'm talking about the worst of the snow, northern Pennsylvania, southern New York State. And the absolute highest amounts from the storm, probably somewhere between Binghamton, New York, and Worcester, Massachusetts, where there may be 12 to 16 inches of snow.
Wow.
And they can have it because we already have enough.
Right.
You know, Bob, I think you've finally got me to the point where I'm starting to feel a little better about it now. Finally.
Yeah, there you go.
The storm that's coming later in the week, do you have your arms around that yet?
I do. And actually, let me sidetrack a little bit here, Roger. The word of the day is rumors. Because, first of all, I've heard that this current storm that's bearing down on us has had some rumors attached to it and associated with it, not so much around these parts, but across Indiana. Speak to some people, actually as late as far back as Friday of last week, asking about the Tuesday storm, which is now today, Tuesday, hearing that there might be 30 inches of snow in Indiana from that storm. Well, not quite sure that rumor started, but it's like more 6 to 12 inches, which is a lot, but it's certainly not 30.
Right.
All kinds of rumors attached to this weekend storm. From here eastward up and down the eastern seaboard, I am already hearing people refer to it as the superstorm or the megastorm or something along those lines.
Snowmageddon?
That too. And I would say at this point, it looks as though it's taking a path that would take it primarily to our south and then up the eastern seaboard so that we just get the fringe effects of it, something perhaps on par with tonight's storm, 2 to 4, maybe as little as 1 to 3, maybe as much as 3 to 6. But not 2 to 3 feet.
Good.
Okay, we're all breathing a little easier.
Yeah,
now.
We don't need that, Bob.
No, we do not.
No panic attacks.
No.
Now, of course, with the weather changing and that kind of thing, I know Bob's going to stay on top of all of this. So as that one gets a little closer, I'm sure he'll update us.
We're not going to certainly forget about that one. But I'm just telling you, from this vantage point, I wouldn't be too overly frightened.
When do you think that storm will get here?
I believe that storm is an issue for us on Saturday, particularly Saturday afternoon to Sunday morning.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Okay. Well, Bob Larson.
We'll talk to you tomorrow and get an update.
We'll do that. And stay away from Atlanta. There might be some rain and drizzle there this evening.
Will that cause wet roads?
It might, and if I forget to put that in the forecast, I suppose I'll get in trouble. So.
You're right.
Well, there you go, Bob. You just know where you're not going to vacation next time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
All right. Bob Larson from AccuWeather. And as the program continues ahead, the TSA, does it really serve the purpose they want it to? We're going to talk about it here on the show. We'll take your calls as well at 382-4280 and 877-382-4280 as Lawrence and Taylor continues ahead. And springing from the speaker on your radio, the voice of, well, one side of it. I mean, on the right side, you find me. And on the wrong side, I mean, the left
the
side.
The correct side. We have Roger.
You find Roger. So, anyway, we're going to be talking a little bit about the TSA. This was interesting. A story that appeared in Politico. And this was from a guy who... he was, if you read through the article, and I did read through this the other day, fascinating piece. He was a guy that was working for the TSA trying to get himself discovered as a writer. And part of that involved him studying and that kind of thing. And then the economy hit and he ended up having to stay on with the TSA for a while. And he talks about in this article very in depth about some of the things that he's seen and some of the things that he's been a part of as a member of the TSA. Now, he's no longer with the TSA. But in the article, he goes through talking about some of the things that they have done to safeguard airports and safeguard traveling in this country. Now, we'll dig into this here in a little bit. But as usual, Michael wants to interrupt the show.
Yes. So, I do that on a daily basis, don't I?
You know, Absolutely. We're going to have to get you a sounder or something.
An alarm?
Yes.
Okay.
So if nothing else, he could just bring his kazoo and play it into the microphone, you know. Dee, dee, dee. So anyway, no, he's interrupting because we've got a traffic situation. So, Michael, go for it.
Yes, listener just called this in. There's a possible water main break or a fire hydrant that's just running water down the road toward Miller Road and Fulford. At the intersection of Miller Road and Fulford.
Okay.
Okay.
Miller Road runs to the... to the east downhill,
mm-hmm.
but Fulford comes down to Miller Road.
Mm-hmm.
So is the leak on Fulford going toward Miller Road? Is that what this said?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, then. So you got that. That's definitely going to be a hazard, particularly with cooler temperatures and that kind of thing. Some of that water, if it sits long enough, yeah, you might have some problems.
Yeah,
there.
Ice.
Oh, temperature's 25.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. That's
yes.
below freezing.
Yes, it is. This moment from Mr. Science brought to you by
brought to you by Mr. Taylor.
There may be ice on the pavement, just in case the mayor's listening.
Yeah, there could be there. So,
don't go speeding through there.
Right.
I'm sure they're on top of that situation. They're going to be taking care of that forthwith. But you need to be aware of that as you head through that area. But it's interesting to see, you know, and I've gone through some experiences with the TSA. Now, I'm not one of those belligerent travelers that just says, no, you're not touching me. I've gone through there when I've flown, and the basic attitude that I've gotten from most TSA agents is, okay, look, we got to do this stuff. We're not happy about it. We know you're not happy about it. So if we just all get through this, we'll get through it and it won't be a problem. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if you largely just take the attitude of when they ask you something, yeah, sure, no problem. Yeah. As long as it's reasonable, I don't have an issue with that. That's no big deal because we got to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
But the question has been, you know, they've made some of these efforts, particularly the full body scanner. That's been the big thing that they said, oh, we're doing this and this, you know, spends thousands upon thousands of dollars on these things. And then they find out later, guess what? They don't work.
Right.
And in this particular article, the author talks about that there was set up a back room where the images come from these. And he said that a lot of times they would sit back in the back room and basically make fun of people as they go through the scanner.
No. You're kidding.
Amazingly enough.
Making sport of people's anatomy?
Imagine. Now, and he talked about different things they look for, signs that, like, oh, she had some work done. You know, because you can kind of see certain elements that that are a part of that kind of thing. But he talked about how, you know, they knew going in that it wasn't going to work. They had people that were briefing them on this is how it works and the whole bit. And they said, all right, off the record, is this thing going to work? He said, no, it's just a total piece of crap. It's not going to do anything.
But it looks good.
And I have to admit, every article I've read. Now, one of the flights that I took one time, this was a flight out of Ohio. I was going somewhere else. And I had one of the TSA people directed me over to get into the scanner. And at the time, I was thinking, all right, I want to get on my flight. You know, we were headed home at that point. So I was like, yeah, I'll go through it. All right. But ever since that time, every article I've read that's talked about that scanner has made me regret that decision. And I kind of wish at that point I would have said, no, I'll take the pat down, please. And, you know, the other things that you hear them doing, and, you know, I've had experience with this in my family. I've had my mother, who is 70 years old, was flying out of an airport, and they singled her out for a pat down. Now, she looks quite grandmotherly, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, she's the one we're looking for that's a terrorist? I mean, come on.
It was the Che Guevara T-shirt she was wearing.
Could have been, yeah, I don't know. But you see what they're trying to do, and you kind of think, you know, are they really making a difference? And an article like this really makes you question it. I thought it was an excellent article, really.
So you're suggesting that we're doing all this stuff for show and that there is less real security involved here than public relations. So the government isn't going to be embarrassed if there's another terrorist attack via airplanes. That, well, at least we did something.
Well, and I wouldn't even call it public relations, because if there's any group that doesn't have good PR, it's the TSA. I mean, let's face it. They get a bad rap just about any time a story comes out. People don't like going through that and that kind of thing. But I guess I'm just saying, can't we do something that's a legitimate look at it instead of, hey, you know what? Let's take snow globes from children because they can't have liquid on the plane. You know, I mean, there's no common sense to the whole design behind it. I guess that's my angle, if I could put it to words best.
Yeah, so right from the get-go, after 9/11, this has been, in your mind, a big charade?
Well, I think, you know, after 9/11, we were all going, okay, benefit of the doubt, we got to do something, let's do this. But then you turn around and see all the stories you've heard about, well, you know, they're doing pat-downs of four-year-olds and three-year-olds. And I just don't see the point behind doing that sort of thing. I don't see the point behind going in with a machine that they knew from the start wasn't going to work and saying, let's wheel it out anyway. You know, and was that in the realm of politicians saying, well, that's what you got to do? Or was it bureaucrats somewhere going, well, let's just make it look good? You know, I don't know. But I think the more that we've heard about things, the less I feel like they're really doing much. And it's more about, let's inconvenience travelers. So what do you think about it, though?
I guess I think there's an awful lot of money wasted in this.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we found a way to send money to defense contractors through yet another program, and that's who would have built the equipment that mm-hmm. we're talking about. They've got lobbyists, and
sure.
And I think there is concern on the part of politicians that at least they voted to do something. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it's truly effective, they won't be blamed for that. But if they hadn't voted for it, they would be blamed for not supporting safe flying in this country.
Because they've done nothing. Now, the interesting thing about it, if you look at the way that a business would run, they're looking for results when it comes to doing something. Okay, you've done something. What kind of results has it had? And is this the kind of thing we want to do? Are you going to keep it going, or are you going to dismantle that and do something different? You don't see that kind of focus in the government. We're going to continue the discussion about this. We definitely want to hear from you as well. 382-4280, 877-382-4280 as the program continues. And we got news coming up. We'll continue to be with you, so keep it here.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.